Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
I'll say it one last time. We do not need the Monday Night Football doubleheader, all right? You could burn that idea to the ground. Nobody needs two games, especially at the same time. And you know what's happening next week, Mike?
What's happening next
week? Texans-Seahawks, 10 p.m. for a kickoff. So
perfect. We'll all be sleeping for it.
Terrible. We don't need that. Not when there's good baseball on top of that. There's
correct.
Three games is too much.
Way too much. And that Dodger game was, listen.
It was the best game. It was great.
If you weren't watching Dodgers and Brewers last night, what were you doing?
That's great.
Were you watching those garbage football games? Come on, man.
Bears was interesting. The Bears was a good
still,
game. The Bears was a good game.
The NLCS is on, mate. We were watching there. I was watching Terang sweat out a bases loaded, two outs with Trinan on the bump. One of the more crazier double plays, inning-ending double plays. Was that game had everything.
Yeah, at the bottom
that
of
game
the
had a comeback. It had a Freddie Freeman bomb.
It's somebody else, every day with the Dodgers.
Had Blake Snell going eight innings. Brother, you probably should have stuck with him. But
Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Colin Russo with you. You got Mike Rizzo. We got Christian Katt. We're streaming live from the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Got you for the next 2 hours today up until 6 p.m. on your radio dial, ESPN 106.3, on the ESPN South Florida app, and on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. You had the Dodgers and the Brewers. The Dodgers took Game 1 of the NLCS by a score of 2-1, and it was a dramatic game up to the last out, the last pitch between them and the Milwaukee Brewers. And on the other side of things, you got the Seattle Mariners, who dominated 10-3 over the Toronto Blue Jays. They take a 2-0 series lead. If there is not a series and a game that could illustrate the randomness associated with baseball, look no further than what's going on with Seattle and Toronto. The Mariners are coming off a Friday night 15-inning, used seven pitchers, three starters. It was a slugfest, grinded-out game. They fly across the country, and then they start the season in 2 days, in two games within 24 hours, because they had the early game on Monday. They start 2-0, and their offense has exploded, while Toronto's offense, who especially at home against the Yankees, couldn't be stopped. Every at-bat, there was a base hit, double in the gap, something, home run, Vladdy Guerrero, you know, 9 for 15 with three shots. It was something else every game with them. And then now it completely flipped, and Toronto went completely ice cold, and their pitching has not been nearly as formidable as it was against a relatively bad offense.
Right.
That illustrates the randomness associated with baseball, because who could have guessed? Who could have guessed that the Toronto Blue Jays would hit a wall that quickly after that type of series they had against the Yankees?
Dare I say, one of the MVPs of the entire Fall Classic is none other than Jorge Polanco.
Oh, my God, is he unbelievable.
Guy's got seven hits, three of them are home runs. Eight RBIs.
Six of his seven hits have been four runs batted in.
He's got eight RBIs on seven hits. I mean, that guy is winning games for them. I like what you said about the randomness of baseball.
That's it. There's nothing you can't predict. You cannot predict
I'll take it a step further. If you're on fire at the plate, you're going to beat anybody. If you're hitting gappers, doubles, if you're getting Jorge Polanco home runs, it's not even. And listen, the Big Dumpers had it's not had a bad postseason, but like Julio Rodriguez is hitting well. Cal Raleigh's having a decent one. You're getting production from Jorge Polanco. Why were the Dodgers so good last year in the postseason? It was because of role players like Edmund and Teoscar Hernandez turning into a star.
Polanco was a throwaway signing in the free agency last year as well.
Correct. And once again, that Seattle general manager who has done nothing but add at the deadline for what seems like the last 4 or 5 years, finally starting to pay off. You know, Eugenio Suarez, Josh Naylor, Polanco. They've been building towards a playoff run for the last couple of years. I'm happy that it's finally happening for them. And this has nothing to do with Toronto being a Canadian team.
The series is also not over.
It's not. It's not. And how many times have we seen teams up against the wall on the road pull it off. Now, winning two in Seattle is going to be very tough, especially with their pitching.
And two out of three, yeah.
How well they're hitting too, and their pitchers and Kirby, Castillo, Miller.
It's probably going to be Kirby and Castillo the next two.
Right.
And who knows if Brian Wu, who was their all-star pitcher this past year, who hasn't pitched yet in the postseason. I don't know if they're going to use him in a relief role, but if they're up, 3-1 in the sixth inning, and they want to use him out of relief with George Kirby on the mound, and they pulled Kirby, they could put in Wu.
Totally.
And then I'll ask him to get three innings, just to warm him up. That's totally in the cards.
What impresses me, too, with the Mariners, Gilbert only lasted three innings. Now, he was at 58 pitches. He gave up two, and he just didn't have his best stuff. I actually didn't mind it. I think that there were two decisions as far as pitching in both of these games. I thought Snell, you keep him in. But
that was the most dominant performance outside of Schlittler in game three against the Red Sox. That was the most dominant we've seen.
There were two pitching decisions last night. In that game, it was Snell coming out. In this game, it was deciding to pull Gilbert in the third inning after he's going to touch up. It seemed to work because Bizzardo, Vargas, Hancock, they were all able to weather the storm. Kyle, these guys didn't give up an earned run. I mean, the bullpen came in and slammed the door shut while the Mariners were scoring runs. If that's going to happen, they're going to win the World Series. If they're able to do stuff like that, not have a starter go 5-6 innings and have the bullpen arms be able to slam the door shut like that and also get timely hits from Julio, from the big dumper, from Jorge Polanco, that's what the postseason is.
Out of these four teams that we've seen them play each other, we're down to four. I'm going to ask you two different questions. Best matchup for the case of the MLB. You know what that means when I say
I
that
do.
In terms of like what's best for the league.
I do.
And what do you think would be the best series for the World Series? The best, most competitive, entertaining series.
Best matchup would probably be Canada versus LA.
In terms of story?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the MLB. A Canadian team finally in it. They haven't won since what? The back-to-back years?
Toronto versus LA is what you're saying. Okay.
Toronto versus LA because it's the Canadian versus the LA factor. I think the best series is Mariners and Dodgers. I don't think it's close. Mariners have pitching. Dodgers have pitching. I think the Dodgers, I probably give them the nod on bullpen and 1-9. But if Seattle is going to continue to hit how they are, they could compete with the Dodgers. Yeah. They could go yardy. What was the difference? And don't you feel like last night, let's quickly switch gears, Kyle, to that Dodger game. Don't you think last night was the Brewers' chance and they just squandered
it? I kind of agree with you.
Now, they do have Peralta. Peralta, by the way, almost a 5 ERA in the playoffs, so like a 4.66 ERA.
But this is their lone starter that they're going to go for.
It is. But like last night, bases loaded, one out. Or what was it? Bases loaded, no outs with
Chirillo. Bases load. Are you talking about the
so?
Brewers?
So hear me out on this.
Fourth inning or ninth inning?
Ninth inning. Oh. Chirillo at the plate. He gets a sack fly, scores a run. You got one out. Trinan comes in, walks the batter with two outs, and then I believe Terang at the plate. And
down
he gets,
one, two outs.
Correct, and he gets a game-winning strikeout. Yeah. You got to find a way to go to extra innings. What did we learn about the postseason so far? It's bar down. In extra innings, when I mean bar down, anything can happen in extra innings. And in a position like that, Colin, I favor the team like the Brewers and not the Dodgers. The Dodgers blew the game. They used Roki Sasaki. They used Trinan, two of their best arms already. Now you're going to an extra inning game. You throw everything out the door. And you're not, this isn't like game five with the Phillies or whatever who are throwing Jesus Luzardo out there. You would save your starters. This isn't one of those games where you throw everything out the window and you do what you got to do to win the game. You're thinking about the other games. I thought the Brewers missed their chance last night, and I got to give credit to Trinan, who came in there, walked the batter, had all the Dodger fans worried, and then that strikeout. I mean, you saw the celebration when he struck him out. It just seemed like that was a Brewers opportunity because, like, I when I was grilling you about before the game yesterday, Kyle, how are they doing a bullpen day? How are they doing? They figured it out.
Well, they're going to continue to do
what
that.
What I'm saying is they figured it out, though, for one game. Murphy, the gaffer, the manager, Murph, he was able to play the matchups. I don't think you're going to be able to do that in a seven-game series. That was the game they needed to win. I'd be shocked if they win tonight. I would. I'd be shocked if they win tonight. I like the Dodgers. Colin, that game could have been 5-0. With that insane double play, which happened early on in the game.
In the fourth inning, yeah.
Colin, it was one. That was one.
Yeah, there was a little bit of magic.
Should have been four.
What you're saying is there's a little bit of magic factor that if there was one to steal, and all of a sudden you steal, the pendulum shifts.
I told you.
You're able to steal it, And that fourth inning was bizarre. One of the weirdest double plays I've ever seen. For those who didn't see, it was basically bases loaded for the Dodgers and a launch. Let's take a listen to it, actually. We have the game audio here. So Teoscar Hernandez is at third. Will Smith is at second. And a basically thought no doubter out to center field for Sal Frelick, I believe, bobbled the play. Take a listen to what it sounded like in game audio.
Ball pitcher. Brewer set up for two. And Muncy skies one to center field. Hit well. This one's got a chance. Frelick going back to the wall. He leaps. It's in and out of his glove, but he caught it. And now chaos on the bases. Might have a play at the plate. The throw. Not in time. No, he's out. He's out. It's a forced play at the plate. Also, did he leave early? Once it hits the glove, you can leave the base. It hits the wall.
It's a forced play then.
And now it's a forced play at home.
Let's see. And the throw beat him.
Yeah.
So you're going to have bases loaded and two outs.
No. Three outs because Contreras ran to third.
He ran to third.
So that if you want to talk about the confusion on the broadcast, it was even worse for the players. Nobody had any clue what was going on watching the game. What essentially happened was Max Muncy launched that out to center field. Sal Frelick had basically in every position for a home run robbery. This is the bottom of the fourth inning. This is trying to get, you know, the ball rolling. This, in my opinion, would have just closed out the game.
Agreed.
But what happened was Teoscar Hernandez was at third and Will Smith was at second. And they all thought that
he caught it.
They all thought that he was, yes, he caught it. And then what actually happened was, even Brian Anderson on the call thought he caught it. He dropped it, and because of that, everybody has to advance.
Right.
And it turns into a force-out play at third base, home plate, second base, and first place. Nobody knew that. Will Smith, who was at second, runs all the way to third, and then goes back to second thinking, oh, Sal Frelick caught it. So I have to go back and tag up.
Nope.
Teoscar was the idiot of the bunch.
How don't you make it home?
A really confusing... I understand it's a confusing spot, but Teoscar has no excuse here. Teoscar should have been on third and should have tagged up regardless of what happened. Because at the if he catches it, you run home. If he doesn't catch it, you run home and you still beat him. You can't be in size there, cost him a run.
It did.
But one of the more bizarre double plays I think I've ever seen in baseball.
I texted our group chat last night, like, what the hell are they going to do here? Because it clearly hit the wall. It was in his glove, fell out of his glove, hit the wall, fell back into his glove. And nobody on the field knew what was happening. That's why when I say the Dodgers were...
I can't even blame Will Smith.
No, God, no.
I can only blame Teoscar Hernandez.
It's not one of those situations where, you know, with two outs, you're going. Everybody's going. You're running the base. This was with one out. So, like, the rules, the base running apply. I can't... Here's why I'll defend Teoscar to an extent. How the hell are you supposed to know if you caught that ball or not?
Even if you don't know if he caught it or not, you can still tag up, and you're still beating him home.
Third place.
Catches it or doesn't catch it.
I think the third base coach was pretty shocking there as well.
Yeah, not good.
I think all around, but like when I say the Dodgers could have won that game 4-0, that's why. And even multiple times, I mean, the Brewers were flirting, the bottom of the eighth, the Brewers were flirting with disaster. Like I feel like the entire game, the Brewers were avoiding disaster. And that's why I think they needed a win in the ninth. They had an opportunity. Bases loaded. What? No, basically no outs. Chirio at the plate, and he flies out.
Yeah.
God, you would have loved the big hit to get two across the plate and a possible go-ahead. One base hit wins the game. That's I think that's why. And listen, I didn't listen to our sister stations, Madison or Milwaukee today, but I'm sure they're sick to their stomachs today. A base hit out of two out of the last three batters wins the game.
And even what you could say is when the bases were loaded, here's another point in the game that was crucial. That fourth inning debacle happens that gives you the sense that, okay, well, that's the Brewers' escape. That sort of gives them life. And then Freeman ends up getting a homer to make it a 1-0 ball game. And then the top of the ninth, they walked in another run. It was a bad look. When it eventually becomes the 2-1, and Bryce Terang, who's the final batter of the game, comes out to bat. He is at a 2-2. Trinan throws him a slider. It goes, and he's a lefty. Goes right in over the batter's box. And Terang, it was a classic moment of wear it. If he wears it, if he gets hit by that pitch, it's going right into him. He's not leaning into it. He's not walking into it. None of that. If it hits him, because it's right on top of him, then everybody would have advanced and would have been in the tying run of the game.
Yep.
And the chances are you could have scored the game-winning run. That is how big of a play that was, and he moved out of the way. And then Pat Murphy talked about post-game. He goes, listen, anybody who plays baseball understands that the reactionary aspect of that, you're getting out of the way.
It's your instinct.
It's a 90-mile-an-hour slider. You're getting out of the way. And I understand that, so it's hard to put a ton of blame on him, but that guy, that kid Terang, is not going to sleep for a month knowing that if he just didn't move, if he didn't move, they probably would have had the tying run and changed the entire dynamic of the game.
And I apologize. When Trio got out, it was two outs. Yelich walked, Contreras walked. And then with two outs, Terang struck out swinging, and to Colin's credit, didn't wear that pitch that would have tied the game. That kid wanted to hit the game-winning base hit. I could hardly blame him on that. He wanted the game-winning base hit. But I totally agree.
Is Terang doesn't get hit. He gets out of the way. He probably starts thinking about it. Ugh. Then the next pitch, he swings at a fastball at his eyes.
Yeah, and game over.
That's the game.
Game over.
That's it. That's it. That was the game the Brewers should have stolen. You're right.
They missed their... Now,
not they didn't miss a window of opportunity, but you wanted to take both at home.
Do you like their odds tonight?
I think the Brewers are going to win tonight.
Okay.
I do.
With
I
do. Peralta on the bump, even though
we've talked about it, Dodgers did their job.
Yeah, they did.
I do think the series is going back to Milwaukee still. I do. Because I anticipated the Dodgers were going to win one of the two in Milwaukee. The Dodgers win two. This is not coming back to Milwaukee. But if they go 1-1, I've always been on the side that the Dodgers, I would take them 2 out of 3 in L.A., and then once you go back to Milwaukee, that game 6 would be the crucial clinching scenario to go to the World Series. And I still stand by that because this is along the lines of what I sort of expected. I expect the Dodgers to take one of the two. So I'll stick to my guns there.
Mm-hmm.
But I would favor the Brewers tonight just a little bit because this is what they do. This team with the best record in Major League Baseball. It's not just like it's a ragtag group of toys. This is a good baseball team.
I hate how they handle the pitching. And maybe I'm dead wrong here. You could tell me I'm dead wrong or not, Kyle.
I mean, they went to Quinn Priester and the guy did well.
He went 4 innings. But like, how don't you have more than one go-to starter?
I mean, yeah, but this is what they've been like. They're going to nickel and yeah.
You can't do this against the Dodgers, mate.
That's not the reason they lost, though. That's not the reason they lost. The reason they lost is because they couldn't convert.
Over a 7-game series, though.
Yeah, we could talk about it. You know, if the Dodgers have 10 runs tonight, we could have that same conversation. But that would be against Peralta. My perspective is that wasn't the reason they lost the game.
Agreed. But
you give up 2 to Los Angeles, you sign up for that.
Pushback is it shouldn't even have been a game.
You can't expect to shut them out. And we haven't even talked about it much. I mean, Blake Snell on the other bump. I mean, that guy went, he saw 24 batters, and he got through 8 innings.
Correct.
He allowed a hit, but then got the double play. He 24 essentially came up and 24 went down.
You would have sent him out at 103.
I would have sent him out. They wanted to go to Roky Sasaki. I understand that. Let him get the complete game shutout in the postseason. Nobody could hit him.
Roky, to be honest, I think that was a mistake. That was a mistake, but I think it was a bigger mistake just not going immediately to Trinan. No need to throw it. I wouldn't have threw Roky.
Yeah, but Roky's okay. He's been good for them. I can't blame the situation of how it went down.
I wouldn't have
because he pulled Roky at the right time and he put in Trinan at the right time. But I would be along the lines of if your most obvious situation, in my opinion, was leave Snell out there. Snell gives up a base runner, no outs in the ninth, then we could have a conversation and you got one on first. That's fine. But until then.
One hit.
Come on. Get him out there.
He played perfect baseball.
And they asked him about that post game, and he was so locked in. He's like, I don't know. We do what Robert says. That's no problem with me. I don't care.
Yep.
So I get that. And he's been outstanding this postseason. He's had three gems.
This is what separates the Dodgers. A guy what, Kyle?
They got too many guys. That's the problem with them. They got too many guys.
It's what separates.
That's why I don't. You think the Mariners, if they hit the way they have, they'll be able to beat LA? I don't think so. I think this is going to be.
All right. So you're.
This is going to be six within the rest of the way.
You're. Not to say finally, maybe you've been there for a little bit.
They're
going to
win the 12 of their next, they're going to win 11 of their next 15 games.
I looked at you after the Red series and I said, I just think the Dodgers are a cut above everybody.
7 of their next 11 games. I don't know what I'm saying.
I was there after the Red series.
Yeah.
I was there. And listen,
you just didn't want to believe it. You don't want to believe it. And Ohtani hasn't even hit well. Ohtani and Freeman finally got going yesterday. Ohtani hasn't even hit well. He's slumping and they're still winning. They're winning every game.
Nope.
And
Mookie's
and
been great.
Yeah, and he's been slumping. That is the craziest part. They're intentionally and the funny part is they're still intentionally walking Ohtani because they do not want him to get going.
Correct.
That's where this is like, guys, there's too many guys. They got too many players. And Kike Hernandez, a big hit every time he gets in that bat.
Dude, dating back to the Red Sox.
Every time
when
he gets
that guy, when that guy, when the Red Sox went on their playoff runs, what, 3-4 years ago? I mean, now he's a hero again, second year in a row for the Dodgers.
It's every Tommy Edman
and this Hernandez.
It's every October.
Guy had 2 strikeouts last time, but he also had 2 incredibly big hits in the game, too. It's too much. They're too much. They're the evil empire. It's someone cue Lord Vader and Darth Sidious because their team's going to win another trophy this year. I mean, geez, Ohtani's hitting 138. Ohtani's hitting 138 with a 345 slugging.
And they've lost two games.
And a 286 OBP.
They've lost one game.
And they lost one godforsaken game where Babe Schwarber went home run derby. And it was the only reason they won that game, by the way, was because that cat hit two home runs. I have no hope for it. I told you I'm rooting for the Brewers. I got no hope. Peralta's been terrible. Oh, he's been terrible. He's been the lone starter for them. He's got a 5 ERA damn near.
This is their debt. They're going to figure it out via the bullpen those first couple of games, and then they will go from there. That is going to be the Brewers' plan, and I can't knock it yet until it's blown up in their face. Their arms have been pitching well, but I agree. Somebody's destined to screw up. You're just destined to screw up. You got too many guys out there.
You said blow up in the face. Down 0-2 is blowing up in the face the on the score, way back.
But the Dodgers scored 10 runs tonight against their starter. What are we supposed to say? Mike, then what? What's the plan?
I just like down. You have this is must win. Like obviously,
they gotta
I
got to win tonight. I have to win tonight.
I said last night for the Brewers was must win. It's a must-win, obviously, tonight. But, like, Kyle, what? You're going to go down 0-2 with three games in L.A.?
And the funny part
with
is...
with Ohtani waiting in
tow? We talked about yesterday how if the Brewers probably... I would put the number at 7. I'm willing to move it to 6. But if the Brewers don't get to a 7-game series here, this season does not feel that good.
Has to be 7.
If they lose in 5, you're sitting there thinking, boy, we won 97 games.
No, you tell me. Are they the jolly-go-lucky Cleveland fan that drives me nuts? Because you want to know... Yes is the answer. Because when the guards lost, my thing is I'm tired of losing.
Oh, no,
I want to win.
They'll be annoyed when they lose. Right. But in the middle of it, they think they got a chance. So they think they got a chance.
All right, let me rephrase. When I mean jolly go lucky, oh, I'm just happy we won a playoff series.
Yeah, they'll want to knock AmFam Field to the ground if they lose in 5.
Okay.
That would be my perspective.
Okay.
Some people, at least. Okay. Some people. Because some will be thinking about the silver lining. Hey, you had a great team. You surpassed every expectation in the book. But the Brewers do this every year.
I know you think the Brewers win tonight.
I do.
If they don't win tonight, do they get swept? I'm there. If they don't win tonight, it's a sweep. And I still think Dodgers
it'll be along the lines of that Philly. They'll give them a really tall, hard out for 2 out of 3 games in LA. And LA would take 2 of them. That's what I would say. It would be sort of along the lines of what Philadelphia did.
Okay.
But the Brewers, I'm not counting them out. You know, I was expecting them to lose one of the first two. I'm not counting them out yet because that team has guts. They just got, I mean, that was a Snell game. That was Blake Snell mowing them down. How do you expect? And the fact is, Blake Snell mowed them down for 8 innings and they still almost won. That's where you got to have a little bit of confidence.
This might tilt Brewer fan a little bit. And I apologize if it does for our Brewer fans listening. They had no business being in that game with 2 hits.
But that's the thing.
They had no business being in that game.
That's why you feel okay about it.
They had no business in the first place, and that's why I think they needed to go to extra innings and win that game.
But that's why
they needed to win that game.
That's ultimately why you feel okay. I agree. It was the game
you needed to win that game.
I agree. I'm on the same page. But if that starter, Blake Snell, mows you down for 8 innings and you were right there into the last pitch, you don't sign up for it. You digest it a little easier. Mm. The team's not afraid of them. If it was a 9-1 ball game and Snell, you know, mowed them down once again, we'd be having a different discussion. They were right there.
Can they hit Yamamoto tonight?
We'll find out. Didn't have a good start last time.
He didn't.
But he's been their best starter all year.
These are two. Same could be said about Peralta. Peralta was their ace all year long. It's blown up since the playoffs. So I'm expecting more. Colin, with the over on the run line where they're good friends at Hard Rock Bet, I'm expecting more runs than 3 godforsaken runs, right? There should be some fireworks tonight at, what's the stadium called?
AmFam Field.
Okay. Should be some fireworks at Graham tonight, all right? Should be some fireworks.
Mike Rizzo, Colin Rizzo, Christian Cat. Listen in on the ESPN South Florida app. You can catch Russo and Rizzo in full in podcast format. Listen live to ESPN 106.3. We got the Kaiser University football games. We also have Inter-Miami English and Spanish broadcasts all on the app. You got Theoretically Speaking on top of our local programming. Also, we got our extended high school coverage. That's every Friday night, ESPN West Palm High School game day. You can listen on the app. If you missed any of it, it's on the app, including the Florida Panthers. New home of the Florida Panthers is ESPN 106.3. Listen all on the ESPN South Florida app. Free to download on the App Store. We're going to do our top 10 poll with our college football, and we're going to figure out who has moved, who is not, who stays put. Mike is anti-Big Ten. We're going to have a big argument on where to put Indiana. Should be a lot of fun. That's all to come. Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
You got game two of the NLCS tonight between the Brewers and the Dodgers. You had two Monday Night Football doubleheader games last night. You got a whole lot to look forward to this weekend in college football. You can bet it all on the Hard Rock Bet app.
Last night, folks, I swung and missed on the NFL, but I was a big winner on the MLB side, and you could do the same thing with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. I mentioned the MLB. I mentioned the NFL. Well, guess what? Real NBA tip-off is just days away. So make sure you're getting on the app. Colin loves doing the overs, the season win totals. You could do the same thing.
Nets over.
Yeah, is that what you're on, that net over?
20 and a half.
Keep that in mind. The Nets over. Cam Thomas, nice little guard there in Brooklyn. Maybe that's just a bet to score you some cash. But you could also bet on the preseason. I saw a report. Luka Doncic making his preseason debut in the Lakers next game. You could bet on this stuff with Hard Rock Bet.
Ears to the street. How about that?
Yeah, and I was watching Big Perk on NBA Today. But you can bet on this stuff with Hard Rock Bet. Folks, you know me. I'm such a college football junkie. I love my college football. Love my Buckeyes. They're a cover machine right now. Maybe look into some of their bets. But MLB playoffs, you got NBA right around the corner, NCAA, NFL. Perfect time to download Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus, physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. That's 1-833-PLAY-WISE.
New AP poll is out. We had another week of college football to react to. Let's do our top 10 college football teams presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage.
Who's moving up?
Went from unranked to the 14th team in the country. They were more motivated going into that game.
Who's moving down?
Can they have a good season after this? Maybe.
It's time for Russo and Rizzo's College Football Top 10 Poll. Presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage. Your superhero movers.
Folks, our power rankings. Top 10 power rankings on the college football side presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com. My guy Spiro, man, he's going to take care of you. Okay, Kyle. A lot of games, a lot of upsets, but I think, I don't want to say it's self-explanatory. There's movement with Oklahoma. You're not going to put Oklahoma in the top 10. Oregon is probably, in my opinion at least, still staying in that top 10. I think the only team that we left out that you add back to the top 10 would be LSU, no? You put LSU in at 10, and you take out Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because LSU, listen, they did win 20-10, right? It was ugly. Nussmeier, I mean, geez, threw for one of the ugliest 235s and two tutties I've ever seen in my life. But I think for number 10.
I got an argument. Go ahead. You want LSU?
I think it's LSU. I do. I still would put the likes of Georgia, Oregon, Texas Tech, and Alabama ahead of them.
I'm in favor of substituting LSU out and making them our first team out and putting in Georgia Tech.
Oh. They flirted with disaster for a little bit on Saturday.
They're
going to
flirt with the disaster every week they play. Colin, they're 6-0.
I think LSU's defense, here's my issue. LSU's defense wins that game alone. I think Haynes King runs into a buzzsaw in that LSU defense, but listen, this is the top 10.
Number 10.
Power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage.
I mean, we're at a certain point.
They're undefeated.
That's the only reason I'm saying it. They both have beaten Clemson. So you can't. Where are we going to whine home about how great these wins are for Ole Miss? I mean, for LSU. Where? They lost to Ole Miss. They beat South Carolina. South Carolina stinks.
We could do that with Oregon, though. And we're probably still going to put Oregon in the top 10. I think LSU has a better track record. If we want to play the schedule game, Oregon should probably be left out too. But
Thing about Oregon is they're the team that burned Penn State to the ground. And I think whether you think Penn State stinks or not, they burned that program to the ground.
Okay, I'll listen to that. I just think comparatively, Georgia Tech doesn't have that many impressive wins, but that's fine.
That's the thing. Neither does LSU. At a certain point, when are we going to start rewarding the 6-0s?
Cousin Blakey's not going to be happy with you. Number 10, folks, Georgia Tech.
You want to do Georgia Tech? All right, yeah. I'm in.
We'll go Georgia Tech. Listen, I'll give it to you. Like I said, I think LSU's offense is a liability. Garrett Nussmeier is not the Heisman Trophy quarterback that we thought he was going to be, or at least running for a Heisman. Colin, that kid, he was supposed to be a first-round draft pick. I don't see it.
That team is not that top 10 good. That team's not that dangerous.
They don't score more than 20 points.
That's the problem. I'm fine with making LSU first team out until we show us a real SEC victory. I'm not taking South Carolina into consideration. I think Georgia Tech deserves this spot.
All right, let's do number 9, though.
Number 9.
Folks, this is our top 10 power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com.
I think this is where you put Oregon.
Okay, so you still have Georgia in front of Oregon.
I would.
I.
Georgia has beaten Tennessee. I know Georgia had a bad win. They still won the game. They lost at home to a good team. And so did Oregon. But Georgia has that Tennessee win, and Oregon doesn't have anything.
I'm fine with Oregon here.
One thing, Oregon's beaten Northwestern. That's a good win.
You love Northwestern. Oregon, where are you at with them? Are they an elite program this year? Dante Moore played bad at home.
One thing I know is that team has a ton of talent. There's a plethora of talent, and he's a good coach. We could say those two things, we know for sure. I think Dante Moore is a young quarterback. I think you saw that.
Played him out of the game.
And I think that Indiana is a very good team.
Okay, so number 9.
Number 9.
Is going to be Oregon. That
number
leads us to number 8.
I think
number
this is 8. Where you put UGA. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. They shouldn't even be in the top 10 because they should have lost the referee. And, Colin, I hate the whole blame the referee card. I got to shout out one of my favorite people ever, my professor, Justice Hill at Ohio University Scripps School of Journalism, taught me to never blame the officiating. Justice, brother, I'm going to blame the officiating in this Georgia game. It was tragic. Damn near unacceptable letting Kirby Smart get away with getting a timeout back. With calling the Jackson Arnold touchdown a fumble when the ball clearly crossed the pylon. You looked at it for about 30 minutes and you still made the wrong call. But yes, sadly,
number 8
goes to Georgia.
Number 7.
Number 7.
Going Tech here. Where do we put Alabama here? So we get Tech, Ole Miss, and Alabama.
You're not going to like where I want to put Alabama.
Where do you want to put Alabama?
I want to put them ahead of A&M. I think they're a better team than A&M.
I don't think you're putting them above A&M because A&M has better wins. A&M has got a much harder schedule than Ole Miss. I'll hear Ole Miss. I will not hear A&M.
Why? Because they beat Notre Dame?
They beat Notre Dame, they beat Florida, and they beat Auburn. That to me is enough. But they played a lot of games at home. They played a lot of games at home, but they've won at Notre Dame.
What about Alabama's last 3 wins?
Alabama's great. The thing is, they lost that bad game, and that loss does not look good.
First game of the year, if you want to.
Fine. I give Alabama so much credit. They got another top 10 game this weekend, or top 15 game this weekend.
I think Texas Tech belongs higher. They're undefeated, and I'm starting to buy in.
I agree. Texas Tech hasn't been challenged yet, and I think that's a testament to how good they are.
All right, then right here,
number 7.
I think you put Ole Miss. I think because I would put Bama ahead of Ole Miss.
You want to punish them for winning
against
Washington State?
I'm okay with that. Washington State, I literally love Lane Kiffin.
If we're going to be splitting hairs amongst the best teams in the country, I usually don't agree with you dissecting a 24-point win over a 70-point win. But if you're going to escape Washington State, this I could get behind.
Listen, Lane, former FAU coach, we love him on this program, okay? But you got to get punished for only beating Washington State. They were like 20-point favorites too. So let's move on to number 6.
Number 7, number Ole Miss. Six. Number 6, I think you do Tech here. Texas Tech. They're 6-0. They basically haven't played a game within 3 possessions all year. If you want to count that Utah win, great win. Outside of that, you want to think Houston's pretty good fun. They haven't played the schedule that Alabama is why I would go pro Alabama here.
I think
Alabama's at 5.
What you just said, you're not necessarily buying the Big 12. Neither am I.
Buying the Big 12 is a word. I just don't. Comparatively to what Alabama, I know the SEC is really good. I know the SEC's got a lot of really good teams.
Really good or good?
Alabama just beat Missouri at Missouri. And fine, if you don't believe that.
I think good teams.
In conference road games, it's a coin flip. Not in that conference, it's a coin flip. You know that as well as anyone.
I do. I just think
winning at Missouri and then at Georgia with a tough trap game between a Vanderbilt, we got to reward that.
I don't see. I think A&M, I listen, we love Lane, but like I think actually Ole Miss is probably even worse than Georgia and LSU.
You're, you're not making the argument for A&M behind Tech. You're not making that argument.
Quickly, A&M, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Tennessee. I just don't think there's a lot of difference. Like, there's not
We're grading
resumes.
They're good teams. We're grading resumes.
They're good teams. I just don't see a great team in the SEC. Could I change my mind? We got a lot of college football to play.
Number five.
Just to clarify, Georgia Tech 10, Oregon 9, Georgia 8, Ole Miss 7, Texas Tech 6. Folks, this is our top 10 power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com. My guy Spiro will take care of you. All right.
You want A&M here.
I do. I would like Alabama at 4. I think Alabama winning at Georgia and Alabama winning at Mizzou. We can sit here and talk about if Mizzou's good or not. I'll actually listen to that. They haven't played anybody and they're ranked, but at the same time,
they just never win a big game.
Correct. I mean, A&M didn't win a big game until this year, to be fair. But
that's why I think you got, based off resume, that's why I'm going to give A&M the benefit of the doubt. And I actually thought Florida played pretty well in that game.
For this week.
If Alabama beats Tennessee, we could have Alabama leapfrog.
I'll accept Bama at 5 this week.
If Alabama beats Tennessee this weekend, I am more than happy to have them leapfrog because A&M has got Arkansas.
That number five.
We can do a leapfrog. You
so
cool
five,
with that?
Yeah, 5 is Bama, 4. Number 4. I think it's A&M. Do you agree?
No problem. Okay. I actually think A&M's quite good. They got a lot of pros.
Because the Big Ten have two of the top three teams, you know, in the country on our Good Greek Moving and Storage top 10 power rankings. I'd probably put Indiana at 3.
No problem.
Indiana at 3 was a good win against Oregon.
It's a great win.
Do you want to know why?
It's a great win.
I can't fathom. I guess this is just my snobby Ohio State fandom. I can't fathom Indiana's third-ranked team in the country. How the hell is this team the third-ranked team in the country?
Start believing. They're coming. They're here.
Can they beat my Buckeyes? You said they could last year. You were worried about... Actually, you told me to be worried about that Indiana-Ohio State game.
I'd be way more worried this year. And you know what killed that game was special teams. Special teams killed that
game. Caleb Downs and the punter completely falling on its face.
The game got out of hand after that. I remember that game well. So I would be more worried about this year's Indiana than last year's Indiana because I think Ohio State is not as good as they were last year. And I think you could agree with that. Please. And
I don't know, Kyle. He might be better this year.
Oh, God, I'm not listening to this.
Might be better this
not
year.
Not listening to this.
From watching every single game, they have the two best linebackers in the country.
Mike.
Can I tell you something? Their secondary is better this year.
Mike.
Jermaine Matthews, McLean, Igbinosin.
They had too many good players leave last year offensively.
But
offensively, they're not nearly as good.
And listen, I'm not going to throw Christian in here because Christian knows the Buckeyes reload. What you don't understand is
that
they had Caden Curry.
Mike.
Waiting in the weights. Kenyatta Jackson. These are 4 5-star players who are waiting for their chance.
They got 4 impact players that are playing on Sundays right now that was on that offense last year.
And defense.
Judkins, Henderson. Come on. Fine. Point is, Indiana is at 3. Number 2?
Number 2.
Why would we change anything?
It's Miami.
Nothing
they
has changed.
They didn't play.
Yeah.
The Buckeyes won on the road. They're number 1 this week. They won on the road against a ranked opponent. And spare me with Illinois stinks. Spare me with that. Because they beat your beloved USC Trojans. The game was never in doubt.
If Illinois doesn't stink, then you got to give Indiana credit. You want to play this game? We can play this game. Then you got to give Indiana credit.
I told you. That's my ridiculous snobbiness. I'm better than you coming into here. Okay.
I'm okay with this. They didn't play.
Miami didn't play. And listen. I was with Doc Alladay at Men's Only Medical. Okay, Doc Alladay, I had something going on. He's a big Miami fan. We talked about Miami. Miami almost blew that game to Florida State, too. If Florida State scored 3 points
they
in the first three quarters, they probably lose that game.
If the game would have changed. But
you get what I'm saying. Miami has flirted with disaster a couple of times already. They flirted with disaster against Notre Dame. Fine.
Give them credit. They played tough games.
That's Ohio State!
No, they haven't.
Washington's a tough team. Texas is a tough team. Illinois is a tough team. I'm sick of hearing it.
Phony teams. Phony.
What do you mean phony?
Phony
Texas
teams.
Just beat the number 6 team in the country.
It's a rivalry game.
Stop it. You listen to yourself and the excuses.
Now,
dude, all right. Number 2 is
number
Miami.
Number 2.
And number 1
number
are
one.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
I'm not accepting this. Illinois stinks.
Not doing this.
Illinois stinks.
Our top 10, folks.
Washington stinks.
Number 10.
Number 10.
Georgia Tech. Number 9.
Number 9.
Oregon. Number 8.
Number 8.
Georgia.
Number 7.
Ole Miss.
Number 6.
Texas Tech.
Number 5.
Bama.
Number 4.
A&M.
Number 3.
Indiana.
Number 2.
Miami.
Number 1.
Hang on, Sloopy! OH. Folks, that is our top 10 power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Folks, you hear me talk about it all the time. Spiro and his team are the guys you can trust. They're the movers you can trust. You know, they all go through the Spiro Superhero Academy, which means, God forbid, you got to run to Home Depot. You got to run to the store. You got to pick up one of the kids at practice. These are the movers you could trust leaving at your home and getting the job done and making sure it's done the right way. But if you are moving, folks, don't stress it, because Good Greek is your total relocation solution. From packing and storage to local and long-distance moves, Spiro and his team at Good Greek Moving and Storage have you covered from start to finish. They're trusted by families, businesses, sports teams, like the Hurricanes, who slid in at number 2 today.
Number 2.
And the Miami Heat, who are about to begin their season for over 2 decades. Make your next move simple, safe, and stress-free with the world's only total relocation company. That's Good Greek Moving and Storage, and my guy Spiro.
Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Catt. We got Steve Policino, the Good Karma Brands president, Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Famer, with us next. It's ESPN 106.3. Oh,
let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm. You got Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Catt with us. We're at the City Place Studios. We're also at the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. You've been in that car accident, truck accident, suffered that slip and fall, fell down the stairs. My friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys can help you. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back. They can get yours too. They didn't even charge you unless you win. Listen, you got to call it like you see it. Settle. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine. Take that one phone call and take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control of Anajar and Levine. Haven't talked to him a little bit. It's the Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Famer, the Good Karma Brands president, New York Knicks fan Steve Policino with us now on Russo and Rizzo. Steve, welcome in. How you doing?
Great to talk to you guys. How are you?
Wonderful. Steve, give us a little bit of a State of the Union really quick on, are the Brewers still have a chance here? And on the other side of things, do the Blue Jays even have a chance? Are we going to be seeing a Mariners-Dodgers World Series? Give us your thoughts on that really quick.
I'm excited about the Mariners because at the trade deadline, they're definitely, like I said this morning to somebody, I wish I threw a couple shekels on the Mariners at that trade deadline, because and then they probably could have got better odds because they kind of stumbled. But they just look so loaded and able, you know, to do it. So I think the Mariners are there. God, I don't want to count the Brewers out. They've been such a team of destiny and coming from behind, but yeah, after last night, it's not looking good there.
Uncle Steve, would you have taken Blake Snell out of the game going 8 innings and on 103 and only having one hit for the Dodgers?
No. I mean, this is, he played a win in the postseason. I didn't see how many pitches he threw, but I knew he was pretty efficient. I would not. I would have left him in there. And the Dodgers bullpen has let them down, you know, on and off this year. I didn't see the point. What's Snell going to start 2 more times this year? 3 at the most?
Yeah, let him go. I agree.
Him in.
Yeah, not a word about the Blue Jays, even if they decimated your Yankees? Not a word about them?
I'm ignoring them. I'm pretending they don't exist.
Well, Steve, don't worry. They're about to not exist because they might get swept in this series. I'm almost there with how well the Mariners are hitting. I mean, Steve, the Mariners got all the starting pitching. Gilbert laid an egg, and the bullpen came in and played shutout baseball. I think this one's over. I actually think you already have your World Series matchup. I think you got the Mariners.
I don't think so.
And I think the Dodgers are going to blow this thing open, winning 2 games in Milwaukee tonight. And Uncle Steve, I hate the 2-3-2, because if that's the case, if the Dodgers win tonight, this series is over, in my opinion, in a sweep.
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree. You know, baseball, like, they're used to the traveling back and forth. And I know they're usually playing minimum of 2, if not 3 or 4 game series, but it really does. I mean, you said 2-0 and you're going back home for 3. It's almost impossible
it's
to
over,
overcome
right.
that.
Steve Policino with us now on ESPN 106.3. Steve, give us your, is it going to be the Dodgers or are you still, I know you said the Mariners at the beginning of the postseason. That was the team you said to watch out for, but is this going to be Dodgers inevitability?
I hope not. I mean, I really hope not. I know I'm a Yankees fan, but the Dodgers feel like the ultimate big bad power, like with spending like $500 million on their, you know, on their roster. And they didn't even dominate in the regular season. And I think this is what they're set up for, like kind of make it through the regular season. They had different guys hurt at different times, get as many of them healthy, not that they're all healthy, get as many of them healthy for the postseason, and then just put like your A lineup out there.
Now, Steve,
and that's what's happening.
Now, Steve, I want to ask you, I agree with you. I think they are built for this. And they haven't even played that great in the postseason. They're still, I've only lost one game. But I want to ask you this. Now the Yankees have lost again, and everybody can point their blame in whatever direction they want, but it is yet another sports season with no New York championship. And it has been, I believe, upwards of 5,000 days.
Christian has the exact number.
Yes, 5,000 days.
Today is 5,000 days. Today is 5,000 days since a New York team has won a title since the 2012 New York Giants. Steve, first of all, I know your Knicks might be the best chance this year, but who do you think has the best odds, really, to hoist the next trophy in that of those sports teams?
Jets? No, just kidding. I think it's the Knicks or the Yankees, right?
Are the Yankees not going to continue to do the same thing they do every single year? Do they give you any rejuvenation that they can change things?
They get in the postseason. And if they had Cole this year, they were a legitimate – like, it starts out to me as, are you a World Series – are you a championship contender at the beginning of the season? The Yankees were. Are the Knicks a championship contender?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so.
This might be their 1 year because of everything that's gone on with, you know, Pacers injuries and Celtics injuries and, you know, Sixers rebuilding or whatever they're doing. And, like, this might be the one chance to break through. When you're going in the beginning of the year.
Not to get too much into basketball season, I kind of agree with you. I think if there is a chance within the next five-year period, I'll leave it at five. In the next five-year period, there is no other team to look at than the Knicks. That's where I would stay right now.
Isn't it the Yankees?
Because I don't think the Yankees are going to change. I don't think they're going to change.
The Yankees just reload. At least you know they're going for it. And then who knows what happens when you get in the playoffs. Although I do think the Mariners and the Dodgers, like, this would actually be how it should be. Because the Mariners and the Dodgers, to me, are the two best teams
in
their respective leagues. But in baseball, just like look at some of the teams that have won in baseball. And they were not like the Rangers when they won a couple of years ago. They didn't dominate in a regular season. Like, you've had teams that have just made it through. In the NBA, you really have to be a one or two, maybe a three seed.
You have to dominate.
The Pacers were an anomaly.
Well, they dominated.
They were an anomaly, though. They weren't good. They weren't great in the regular season. They played a bully ball brand of basketball, which they got lucky because, you know, a lot of it were fouls and the refs were.
You don't get to the finals with being lucky.
By the way, you guys forgot you guys forgot Cleveland in that Eastern Conference. You mentioned the Sixers. You mentioned the Celtics. Anyway, Uncle Steve, how do you fix the Yankees? You mentioned the Dodgers, right? How they're the evil empire. Uncle Steve, the Dodgers are the new Yankees. They're bringing guys up through their farm system who are panning out. They're trading guys through their farm system for top tier talent. They get all the free agents and Freeman and Betts and Otani. And it just seems like the Dodgers have that Yankee blueprint that the Yankees used for 25 years from about 1990 to 2020. So how do you fix the Yankees, partner? Is it going back to that, or do you got something else in mind?
So Dodgers certainly do right now. That is for sure. And I think the Yankees actually began the fix last offseason by not signing Soto. And then starting to put pieces like Fried, you know, in place. Devin Williams, I know, didn't work out. They got Bellinger. Hopefully he stays after having a good year. And then the other piece is the farm season. Schlittler looked great this year. They got another guy in the minors, Spencer Jones, who's a bomber, who could be like next on his way. The Yankees have to make a decision about the following. Obviously, their manager. I'm ready. Like, I like Boone. This year was exhausting for me. The getting thrown out every other day and the 2,000 lineups. I mean, like, not sticking with a lineup at any point. I had enough, and I thought he stayed with Devin Williams way too long at the beginning of the season. So, like, I think he's had his chances. This is the longest, like, they've gone in the modern era without having a World Series. I think it would be, it's time. So it probably starts there. I don't know they'll fire him, but I think it starts there. Left side of the infield, what is this? McMahon, Volpe, like this is where we are now?
It's not good.
This is where we are?
Colin wants to gut the infield in general, Steve, and I'm not too far off that.
Well, I mean, Jazz to me is fine, and then that's it, unless Ben Rice is your first baseman, which he probably shouldn't be because Wells, he should be the catcher if you can get him to be your catcher. And they have some assets that they can move that don't cost a lot in Volpe and Wells. It's just if the Yankees don't believe in them, is somebody else going, to go believe in them? They're just an imbalanced team. They have too many players at the same positions and too few players
at premiums.
In real positions of need.
Figure out what you're going
to
do with
their... Their two biggest offseason questions to me are Boone and Volpe.
Get rid of one of your three DHs and then get rid of both shortstop and third base. You're not getting rid of Chisholm. Figure all that out and run it back with the pitching staff, and I think the Yankees have another line for a good year. But until I see anything change at the manager and general manager positions, I'm going to assume that the Yankees will always be the Yankees.
They need
the general manager is not changing. The general manager is not changing.
I agree with you. And I don't think the manager is changing because of that either.
I mostly agree with you there, too. I'd be fine with it, but my odds are 70-30 that Boone is there next year.
How does Cashman survive, guys?
I mean, he's been there for 25 years.
Link to Steinbrenner.
Okay, is this like a Chris Greer thing in Miami? Like,
Chris Greer's been
similar
there for 6 years. Cashman's been there for 25 years.
But he's also been in the organization for like 20, but that's nonetheless what I was trying to say. No, I agree with you guys. Boone probably needs to go, but it's not going to happen if you got Cashman there.
Steve, really quickly here, before we let you go, if you want to watch your precious Giants, want to watch Jackson Dart, who actually has played quite well in two of the three games he's played to this point, you go, where do you go watch it? You probably go watch it at Duffy's, right?
Yeah, and Dart was looking better and better. I was stunned at what happened on Thursday night, I will admit. I said to somebody, I thought in the soap opera that is the NFL, it was going to be a Philly get healthy game. A Philly, like, we are down, now it's our turn to be good game. Kind of like the Chiefs last weekend. Like, all right, Chiefs are back. Can't have them be too bad for the soap opera that is the NFL. Not that it's scripted, but it almost feels that way. Duffy's, of course, whomever you like, whether your team's up or down, regardless of the sport, Duffy's equal opportunity viewer because there's 80 TVs at every single Duffy's. And, of course, you can enjoy the double smash burger, two certified Angus beef patties, caramelized onions, the melty aged sharp cheddar, the dill pickle chips, the lettuce, tomatoes. Oh, my God. And that's just one of the many incredible things you can get this football season at Duffy's. Of course, your game day buckets, 2-for-1 drinks all day, 17 flavors of wings. No one does football season like Duffy's. Visit your local Duffy's Sports Grill at Duffy's. Our game is always on.
Steve, appreciate it as always. Looking forward to talking again soon. Enjoy the week. All right, next week it is.
Thanks, Steve.
See you guys on the basketball court soon.
Oh, boy.
How about that? Steve, make sure you tell me when the draft is. I want to draft our team.
Yeah, we're not missing that draft. We're not letting you draft for us. You want to blame Brian Cashman. How about we blame Steve Policino for putting together the team last year, yeah?
Info coming your way soon.
Steve Policino, who, by the way, is the commissioner, if you can, of our youth basketball league that Mike and I coach in. We're going to have the 7th grade and 8th grade and 9th graders yet again. Steve drafted our team last year, and we won one game all year. We went about 1-15. So that's not going to happen again, and we are going to make sure we have eyes on the talent, and we will draft on our own accord.
I heard that our hat is in the ring for a head coaching position somewhere.
I have heard that. And that is like a real head coaching game. I can't say the school. Can you believe that?
Wait.
Yes,
wait,
yes,
a
Christian.
Like middle or high school?
I heard, this was a number of weeks ago, so I assume they filmed the position. This is a high school in the Palm Beach County, Treasure Coast area. One of our players, one of our players from last year, who is now in high school, who was in high school last year, but he was playing rec, now he's in 10th grade? I don't know. His father reached out and said, hey, completely serious, and me and him don't have the sarcastic relationship that would allow this. I threw your name in the hat because there is a vacancy of the head coach of the head basketball coach at so and so school, and I go, I was never been more confused in my entire life. What? what? Don't Mike and I have day jobs? I guess it does. I guess we can make it work. But I mean, I'm like, would you actually change daytime?
And he
goes, yeah. What do you mean? Would I change daytime?
Like, would you talk to the bosses and be like, all right, I need to do a 10 to 12 shift?
Would we change our show to coach this basketball team? No.
No. Correct. Absolutely not.
You guys don't want it?
Don't want the basketball team?
I mean, Christian, we didn't apply for it.
That's the thing, brother. Nobody's interviewed us. It sounds like it didn't go anywhere, but it was a truly serious text because I haven't heard from this gentleman in, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. And he said, hey, by the way, threw your name in the hat for this coaching gig. I think you and Mike would be perfect for it.
It's like when Condoleezza Rice was rumored to be interviewing for the Browns head coaching job by Adam Schefter.
Never had any. There was. Anyway.
I'm saying misinformation out there. You're telling me this
correct.
Is real.
Mike. This is it. I guess so.
We're going to have to pull these kids out of science class because, trust me, we're practicing at 11 in the morning.
That's fine with me. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. We'll do a little 5 and 5 with Christian Katt. On the other side of things, it's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.